As sales professionals, you know what it's like when you open up a company's website and you look at their leadership board and you look at everyone and you know what? Nobody looks like you. But imagine if you were to go to a company and you looked and you saw the face of Mr. Simon Teckel. You'd be like, dang, that brother's up there doing things. And I want to be able to learn from him. What did he do to get to where he's at as the VP of sales at this amazing company? Well, don't you worry today, ladies and gentlemen, my friend Simon Teckel, he's going to tell you how he was able to tell you his story, how he got involved in sales. And you can see how you could follow that same journey. He is now the VP of sales at Synchro, who is an MSP company. And managed service provider. If you don't know much about them and some of the software technologies that can come from, he's going to explain that a little bit to you. And you can find out more about that, about his company. We have a link down below. Again, it is Synchro MSP, and they're in the MSP space. But today, I want you to hear Simon's journey, and particularly his amazing story when he was selling cell phones in Kmart. It's a blue light special. Hey, 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 everyone. Welcome to Selling in Color. My name is Donald C. Kelly, the sales evangelist. And I'm excited to be here today. And as you know, I run the Sales Evangelist podcast and this one, Selling in Color. And I'm excited to be here because I'm a seller of color and you are too. And we want to get more sellers of color to do the things that we do. Take advantage of the opportunities. And today we have one that is just like amazing, Mr. Simon Teckel. As I mentioned in a teaser there, he is the VP of sales, this amazing organization. He's going to tell you all about his journey, how it started. And I want you to learn from this episode is that it doesn't matter if you're brand new to sales or you've been selling since you were 9, if you've been selling for 50 years or if you're selling for 50 days, you can learn a lot. And Simon is going to break down, give you some insights, some tips and some strategies that can help you to make sure that you're being successful in your sales journey. Take these advice and apply them. Let's go ahead and dive into the episode. Simon, thanks so much for coming on the show today, man. I appreciate you, man.
Hey, thanks for having me, Donald.
I'm excited because we just had you on our other podcast, The Sales Evangelist, and I'm excited to have you here on Sales for the we're talking about Sales for the Culture on Selling in Color. And before we even jump in, you know, I want to give a big plug for Sales for the Culture, and I'm sure you're going to give a plug for them as well throughout this interview. And I bragged about you a little bit there. Why don't you tell us a little bit what you do right now, Simon?
Yeah, I'm the vice president of sales for a company called Synchro MSP. We're a remote company and we service the managed service providers all across the world. We have customers domestically and internationally. So,
I love that. I have a little bit about your bio and information down in the show notes. So if you're watching this on YouTube or if you're listening to this episode, go into the show notes. You get a chance to connect with Simon and see some of the information there as well. And this podcast, this idea, we, you know, tell the story about how this came about. And I was able to then get introduced to the amazing folks that helped to create Sales for the Culture. But Simon, you were there from the very, very get-go with that. Do you mind talking about what Sales for the Culture is? And for folks who are, you know, Black sales professionals or folks looking to get into sales, listen to this episode, how this can benefit them and what this community is all about.
Yeah, Sales for the Culture is a group of Black sales, revenue, marketing individuals or people looking to break into the tech space. And being able to learn and connect and offer jobs and mentorship. So it's a community of people looking to get into tech sales, people that are in tech sales looking to, you know, grow their career, to just connect and talk, you know, things that they're struggling with, things that they're seeing and hearing. Hey, is this normal? You know, does anyone else see this at their job? And hey, I want to become a manager, want to do this, you know, kind of talk to a manager and tell me about your growth. So it's just a great networking event. And a safe space for everyone to connect.
I love it. And I have a link down for that in the show notes again for Sales for the Culture for you to check it out. Highly recommend you go to do so. There is just all kinds of discussion, a lot of great insights that you can glean from it. And speaking about that, Simon, we've looked at the stats and we've seen it out there. And that's one of the reasons why the group was created was because the fact is there are a lot of opportunities out there, but then in the corporate world, there's not a lot of people who look like us that are in tech sales or even in professional sales. The stat that we found showed that about 20% of B2B professional sellers are people of color. And that's not even just Black. That's people of color. That's Black, Hispanic, you know, Asian. That's color in general. Folks like you, we get excited for, because you've climbed the ladder. You've made it. You've been very successful. You've accomplished sales greatness. And I think it's appropriate for us to say that. And we want to be able to not only inspire other people, but learn what we can learn from folks like you. So I want to hear your story about your experience getting into sales, how you led to this career where you are today at the VP of sales at this amazing organization. That didn't happen overnight. How did you start? Tell me that story.
Yeah. You know, to start with my story, I have to kind of start with my childhood. You know, my parents are from Eritrea and came to America in 1980, landed in Chicago. And I watched my father juggle full-time work and full-time school to support a family of five of us living in a two-bedroom apartment. So at a very young age, I witnessed discipline from my father, and I just witnessed hard work. And then I also watched like the sacrifice my mom made raising three kids, you know, in a very poor neighborhood while they were trying to, you know, go after the American dream, right? So I was exposed to that at a very young age, and that also like stays with me to this day. You know, I look at that as, my parents made a big sacrifice to come to America for us kids. And so shame on me if I let that sacrifice like go in vain, right? And so that has always like, I've always leaned on that. So I feel like any career you take or any path you take in life, like what is the thing that's fueling you? And like always relying on that when, you know, you feel like, you know, going through some turbulence or something, you know, that's like a mantra I live by. I got into sales on accident. My father was an engineer and, you know, Donald, and I know people understand is like when you have parents, foreign parents in America, there are only three jobs for their kids. It's doctor, lawyer, or engineer. Those are the only three jobs. And there's nothing else you're allowed to do or can do, right? So I accidentally got into sales. You know, I did sales for Dell selling computers. Before that, I was cold calling for a mortgage company, like calling people, you know, while they were eating dinner and saying, hey, do you want to refinance your house? I was knocking on doors for a roofing company, trying to get people to, you know, roof inspections. My favorite sales job early on was I sold cell phones at Kmart, and I had a table at Kmart, and, you know, we'd sit there and, you know, people would walk up and, you know, try to get them to sign up. And, you know, that was like really slow. And I'm like, man, there's a better way. Look at all these people shopping around in Kmart, and I'm just sitting here waiting for people to come up to me. So I said, I'm not doing this anymore. So I literally took the cell phone, walked up and down the aisles at Kmart, and just handed a phone to people and say, hey, you get a free cell phone for being in Kmart. And it worked really, really well. Like so well that I made like some serious money I was making almost like $800 to $1,000 a week as a 18, 19 year old kid.
People don't make that for their career.
I was making, like, yeah, I was making like really, really good money. And I remember my manager saying, what are you doing? What are you doing? It's different. I said, I'm just not sitting behind the table. Like the table can be like all the way on the left side of the store, and I'm all the way at the other end, you know, talking to someone as they're picking out their kids' clothes about cell phones and activating it. And I just had so much fun doing that, you know, and that's when I first was like, hey, maybe like this sales thing can work for me. But when I went to Ohio State, and as my parents were bringing me down to Columbus, I didn't know what I wanted to major in. And, you know, my parents said, well, you're going to be a pharmacist, you know, back to my, there's only three jobs, right? And I said, okay, I'm going to be a pharmacist. And, you know, fast forward 18, 19 years later, here I am, you know? And so that's why I said I got into sales on accident. And so leveraged my previous experiences with like door-to-door cold calling, you know, the cell phone seller at Kmart, and said, how can I spin this up into a career? So that's
before you go into that, Simon, what was it about sales that made it so enticing? Was it the money? that you were, because you're making decent money, $4,000 per month. Mm-hmm. I mean, some people aren't making that much. What, was it the money, or was there something else that made you say, almost like taste blood? And I don't want to make it sound like bad, but you just taste something that you're like, I cannot leave this career.
Yeah. You know what? At a young age like that, at first it was money. I was just like, holy crap. Like, I'm, you know, making money. And then the other part of it is the chase, like the thrill of the chase, because everything I was doing was like, yeah, almost like full cycle role, like in today's terms.
Yeah.
I was knocking on doors. I was cold calling, like at the mortgage company, then at Kmart. I was just, you know, going up and down the aisles to people. Like, that thrill or that chase was so fun for me. And, you know, that is where I said, like, how can I explore this to do this like forever?
Yeah. And I think many of us who are in professional sales kind of fall back to that idea too, that there's something about that, that you almost like creating something from nothing, that company didn't have this. And then you were able to find someone and was able to help court them, so to speak, and help to bring value and solve a problem for them. And they came because of the what Simon did, and this wouldn't have been here. And it made it happen, that chase, so to speak. I think that's awesome.
Yeah.
For people or non-sellers who are listening to this, wait till you get your first one. You're going to be like, dang, that feels good.
Feels good, right? Especially when you chase it and all that from the beginning. So yeah, I after that, I worked for Dell Computers selling computers. If anyone remembers those kiosks in the mall, you know, I worked at one of those and then got an opportunity to manage, you know, a team.
Was this post Ohio State?
Yeah, this was post Ohio State. So I started managing 8 people at the age of 25, a little right before I was 25 years old. And I really, really enjoyed management because I got to, you know, still stay in the trenches per se, but I also got the chance to like work with people and help teach them. I stumbled a little bit, first time manager, you know, I screwed up a lot and I had a lot of learning to do.
What did you screw up on?
I didn't understand what being a manager meant, right? I took it as like, hey, get everyone to do it how I do it, and not understanding like everyone can't do it like me and, or can do it better their way. So I think like that was part of it, but I had some learning to do there. I lost some talent, you know, unfortunately, but that's all part of the learning process. After some time at Dell, I got a chance to join a startup called Everyday Health. We competed with WebMD, got to join the small business division there. We were able to grow that over the next couple of years, and we ended up IPOing in 2014. Learned a lot there. You know, it was my first startup. I didn't know what startup life was like. Got to, you know, build a team and help train and all that stuff. And it was just a ton of fun to just kind of go through that process. And I was able to leverage that knowledge and take it to other companies to help start divisions. You know, I went to Angie's List. They started a brand new division there. I went to another software company called Thrive. And I was able to leverage that experience to different companies to help grow teams or build teams or turn around underperforming teams. And, you know, that's eventually how I was able to work my way to, you know, where I'm at today.
What did your parents think? Go back to that. Cause I don't know about your parents, but I know my mom, they like that machete.
Yeah.
Machete. And then if you're, you deviate from the path, you know, you may get whooped with a something.
Yeah. No, you're absolutely right.
What was that conversation like when you told them, listen, I am not going to be a pharmacist? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, you know, I think part of that was I didn't understand why they were pushing me to be a doctor, lawyer, engineer. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't until later in my life that I understood like why they were pushing me down that path. And so it really was when my parents came here in 1980, they barely spoke English, you know, and they're, you know, grew up in a very poor part of Chicago. So think of, you know, foreign parents that barely speak English in the worst part of Chicago growing up. And the reason my parents were pushing me to take a doctor, lawyer, engineer role was because they said, my father told me, as a black man in corporate America, it's not for you. And the only way you'll be respected in this country is by having acronyms after your name, basically, you know? And I didn't understand that. And it made it clear for me, like, why he became an engineer. But I didn't understand why he was pushing me for that. That was a whole world that was like, I didn't get until I was older. I said, okay, so that's why they didn't think like a black man could make it in corporate America. It's not for you. So the only way you'll have respect in this world or in this country is by having a professional title. And I said, okay, like that made sense to me then. Like, and when I was understanding the method to the madness.
Very interesting. And I think all of our parents who come with that idea is like you said, it's just more of this love. And they want us to be the best. They want us to have, you know, things that they couldn't accomplish. Speaking about that, now in your sense, you're like the parent to many of us who are young sellers who are coming up in the game, and you know where you are right now and the accomplishments you've had. What advice you would give that to help sellers who are out there, who are maybe their first time thinking about going into sales, or someone that's in sales right now? How can we help them to be able to find the same level, or to get them to get excited or get to rise towards this occasion of being, to see themselves succeeding in sales? That's a long question.
Yeah, no, for me, when I started my first startup, when I went to Everyday Health, there weren't even people that I knew that like looked like me that were in positions higher than me or anything like that. But I was very fortunate to have some really good mentors, you know, throughout my career. But I think the most important thing for people starting out to understand is whatever path you want to go, like right now, there are people that are doing that role that look like you. And finding those people is what's key. And that's where groups like Sales for the Culture come in. You want to find managers that are in there. You want to find directors that are in there. You want to find VPs or heads of sales. They're in there. You want to find CROs. They're in there. So finding people that you relate to that are in roles that you want to be and asking for help and being extremely curious about, you know, how can I be great at my role and elevate, I think is important too.
When you say elevate, what do you mean?
To elevate. Like, how do you get better at what you're doing today?
Yeah. Gotcha. Yeah. So finding other people that are doing what you're doing, being able to get access to them, and obviously Sales for Culture community like that can help that and make that possible. And then the opportunity of looking for ways to just be able to elevate yourself, get into that next level. Is it harder for someone of color when it comes to sales? What's your opinion on that to get into the sales role? Do you feel the level that the times 2020 change things? Is it easier? Is there opportunities out there? Anything that you could debunk for us?
Yeah, I think definitely now, like there is, you know, I think the environment right now is, you know, looking at diversity, you know, and saying, what does diversity look like in your organization? I think a lot of the barriers and the underlying, a lot of the barriers or the underlying things that were put in place to potentially prevent people that don't have opportunities or in underrepresented communities to get into roles, is those barriers are becoming removed, you know, like simple things like on a job description, stuff like that. And so I think now, like the time for anyone who's ever thought about getting into sales or tech sales, this is your moment to take advantage. This is your moment to find people at companies that you want to join or find people that are hiring. Sales for Culture, we have a channel there called Job Opportunities, and there are jobs being posted there all the time of people that are hiring for their teams. You know, you have managers that look like you, say, I'm hiring AEs or SDRs and you know, people that can understand you that you can go and report to. It's just a great community there as well. So I think if anyone has ever thought about it, you have a ton of resources. I think we have almost roughly 1,000 people in there right now to go and to ask and to learn and to take advantage of, you know, an opportunity.
Yeah. When I first jumped into the community, I think it was like 300, 400, but it's amazing. Listen, guys, I highly recommend you get connected with Simon. Simon, if there's one major takeaway you want folks to leave this episode with when it comes towards, you know, your success, what you've accomplished, what would that major advice be?
Be the president of your own university. What I mean by that is own your own development. Own your own development. Don't rely on anyone else.
Love it. Own it. All right, guys, you heard it. Simon came, saw, he delivered. If folks want to get in touch with you, Simon, what's the best way for them to go about doing so?
Yeah, I would love anyone that wants to join Sales for the Culture to join. I'm in there. You can catch me on LinkedIn, Simon Tuckle, T-E-C-L-E. And if you want to email me, simon@synchromsp.com.
Simon, we appreciate you taking the time to come on the show today, man. Thank you so much. Appreciate you, brother.
Thanks, Donald. I had fun. Appreciate it.
And As always, I appreciate you being here. I appreciate you taking advantage of this podcast. I appreciate you sharing it with your friends. People of color out there need to learn about the opportunities that they can get. And, you know, when we can look up and see someone like Simon doing amazing things, it's, I don't know about you, but it gets me stoked. Gives me the hope and the inspiration that, you know, I could accomplish that or we could accomplish that. It gives that guidance. And especially someone like Simon's willing to just give out so much wisdom. So I want you to make sure to connect with them. Connect with the brother. You can find him on LinkedIn, Simon Tekel. You can find all the details in the show notes as well. Just scroll down. You can see all the information there. As always, I share this stuff with you because, guys, I want you all to know that there are opportunities out there. We don't have to sit back and beg. No more begging. We can go out there and claim what's ours. We can go out there and with the God-given right and talents we've been blessed with, take advantage of some of the most amazing jobs that are on the face of this planet that are in tech sales or in sales in general. And we want to help you to succeed. This is what it's all about. This is the power of selling in color. And if you want to check out the community Sales for the Culture, I highly recommend you do so. Whether you're Black, Hispanic, Asian, or whatever you are, we want you to be able to be here and listen to the show. This is Selling in Color. We're not begging for a piece of the pie. We're going out making our own dang pie. Thank you guys so much for being here. I appreciate you. Have a great day. Hey, thank you so much for taking the time to listen to the episode today. I appreciate you. You could be doing many other things, but you sacrificed the time to be able to improve yourself and to listen to our podcast, and that means a lot. If you haven't done so already, I ask that you leave us a rating and review on Apple Podcasts. It goes a really long way when someone can come behind you and hear about the show from someone else and hit subscribe. Thank you if you can do that, and if you've done it already, it would mean a lot. I appreciate you. Also, if you haven't done so already, go ahead and subscribe to our channel on YouTube. You can get the same amazing content, but you get a chance to see us, as well as more tips, tricks, and strategies that can help you compete and to succeed as a sales rep. Our show today was produced by myself and the Sales Podcast Network. It was edited and mixed together by the one and only Mr. Jershon O'Bale. Our show notes today was created by the one and only Rael Ramirez. Our podcast guest coordinator is Mrs. May Marr. Our episode artwork and social media posts were created by Destin Cunado. Our content editor is Michelle Rushman. Our podcast production coordinator is Mrs. Shannon Rasmussen. You can find audio credits to this episode and all of the episodes in each of our show notes. And as always, I am your host, your coach, your mentor, your guide down the sales journey, Mr. Donald C. Kelly, the sales evangelist.